This is Midday Q. I'm Melanie Dahl. Are we as Earthlings ready for a museum for UFOs? Are we all Earthlings? So many questions. That's where investigative journalist Jerry Smith started with a bunch of questions. He wants to open a flying saucer museum in Reno, Nevada. Jerry, have you ever seen a UFO?
No, I haven't. A lot of people ask me that. One doesn't really need to have experienced something to know that something is interesting to them.
Where did you get your interest from then?
Well, it goes back a long ways. When I was a child, I read a lot of science fiction, and that got me interested in out there. And then when I was in high school, most of the people in my town saw one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why I didn't see it. Everybody around me was pointing it out, and I looked at it, but I didn't see it. Most recently, I've been the managing editor of a small magazine, and we started getting a lot of stuff in on UFOs, and that really piqued my interest. Mostly what really got me going was that we started receiving a lot of material on the U.S. government cover-up, and it became patently obvious the government was lying to us. And as a investigative reporter, I found it very interesting the government was lying to me.
In what way?
Well, there is and has been an ongoing interest of the intelligence community to investigate UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
However, the government officially denies that there is any interest in the intelligence community on this subject.
Does the government have a special department that investigates this sort of thing?
Not officially.
Not officially.
There was back throughout the 50s and into the late 60s, there was something, the U.S. Air Force had a number of projects to investigate UFOs,
mm-hmm.
the most famous of which is Project Blue Book. There was also Project Sign and Project Grudge. With the Blue Book being closed down in 1969, officially the U.S. government no longer had any interest. However, they have maintained covert interest up until the present time. In fact, there's a new book on the subject that hit the stands a couple of weeks ago, called Out There by Howard Blum. That's all about one Pentagon task force to investigate them.
How far did you get in your investigation?
Well, it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
Investigating government cover-up is rather like turning over rocks, looking to see what you find under them. Virtually every rock you turn over has got something under it.
Mm-hmm. And you think we need a UFO museum?
Well, now, the UFO museum has got several aspects. One is that for 40-odd years now, people have been investigating UFOs, and there has developed an almost a subculture around these things. There have been hundreds of symposiums, conventions, gatherings. There are tens of thousands of sighting reports on file. There are quite a number of angles of UFOs into other areas of borderland science, the New Age, and so forth. And this has generated a considerable interest and a considerable volume of things that are memorabilia, artifacts, documents, and so on.
So your idea is to bring these all together.
That's right. Our primary goal is to educate the public that UFOs are real. Now, we're not saying real what, but the UFO experience of having seen a UFO is a very real experience. One of the things that that we have discovered, or that I have personally discovered, is that throughout the 50s and the 60s, the government downplayed these things, and in a very conformist 50s mentality, anything that was a little bit off the wall was weird, crazy, bizarre. And it grew up, ufology grew up in the 50s and 60s with this mentality this idea that if you'd seen one of these things, you were crazy. And so I find that when I talk to people, about a third of the people I talk to have had some sort of a paranormal or UFO experience. And when the first thing they say is, I'm not crazy, but this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or they tell me the story and then they add, you don't think I'm crazy, do you? And so one of the big thrusts of the UFO Museum will be to say, no, you're not crazy. You are one of tens of millions of people. if you're crazy, most of the people on this planet are too.
Do you think there are aliens on Earth right now?
Ooh, that is a really difficult question to answer. There is so much evidence in both directions on it. I would say, speaking for myself, I think there's a very good chance of it. The reason I'm so reticent to speak out on this is that the theory that UFOs are spaceships from somewhere out there is the most popular theory in North America, but it is not the most popular theory in the world, and it's fairly easily debunked and simply in terms of the numbers. You look at how many sightings there are and how many ships that would mean. It would mean that we are being visited by millions of spaceships, which is patently ridiculous. I think what we're dealing with here is that the UFO is a number of different things, a number of different realities taking place, and that slipping in amongst them may well be a few spaceships, but certainly not in terms of millions of spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
There is some wonderfully well-documented evidence that at least a few flying saucers, if you will, have crashed and have been recovered. The Roswell, New Mexico case is certainly the best documented.
Where was that?
Roswell, New Mexico.
And when was it?
I'm always a little bit vague on dates.
Mm-hmm.
I hate trying to store stuff in me skull because it grows dim there. I believe it was 1948, Roswell, New Mexico, not very far from an Air Force base that at that point in time held all the atomic bombs in the world, all 17 of them. A farmer who lived a few miles from the Air Force base heard something go bang over the top of his house. And when he looked out, there was a glow of light. The next morning he went out and there was debris, millions of little pieces of things strewn out all over his field. He went to the airport. Well, actually, he went into town to get supplies, and he happened to mention to the sheriff that there was all this junk lying all over his fields and wondered if the Air Force knew anything about it. The sheriff called the Air Force. The Air Force said, we better send somebody out. They sent a guy out in a truck. He picked up a pickup truck full of debris, and by that time it was late in the day, so instead of taking him to the Air Force base, he went home. At home, his family examined the stuff, and it was amazing stuff. And his son is still alive. His son describes it in great detail. There were something that looked like rebars that was lighter than balsa wood and stronger than steel that had hieroglyphs written down the side. The main metal was thinner than a sheet of paper and couldn't be dented with a sledgehammer.
Where did all this stuff end up?
Well, supposedly it ended up in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, along with the burned and slightly animal-chewed remains of four of the occupants of the vehicle.
How come it's being kept such a secret? Don't we have a right to know?
Well, now, this is again, a very major question. I would say, yes, we have a right to know. However, the guys at the top think that we'll go crazy if they tell us. A good example of that is what happened when Orson Welles broadcast his new Halloween prank.
Mm-hmm.
In 1938. There were people jumping out of windows in New York City. 10 years later, in 1947, just about the same time as the Roswell crash, in Quito, Peru, the Peruvian radio decided to do a Spanish language rebroadcast of the War of the Worlds scenario, and that ended with 16 people dead and a 10-story structure in downtown Quito being burned to the ground. There was panic in the streets, and so the authorities, and perhaps not unjustifiably so, are very much afraid that if they release the truth, the public will panic. And then again, you've got when this thing all started was right at the end of World War II, and started, like I mentioned, the Roswell crash was right next to where we had all the world's atomic bombs stashed. So you can well imagine that this was a major military concern, and the military coming out of World War II we're just short of frantic on the subject of secrecy and control of data. So it's understandable that they would have initially kept it under wraps, and then once you start a plot, it's real hard to sometime later go, oh well, we changed our mind, now we'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about these big circles that have been found in wheat fields, and actually a couple were found just outside of Sudbury?
Yeah, the crop circles.
Right.
There still is only very thin evidence that there's any relationship between the crop circles and UFOs. A few UFOs have been seen hovering in a few fields where some crop circles were found later. There is, at this point, nobody's actually seen a UFO setting over a field and having the crop circles appear under it. So, it's hard to say there's a link between the two phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
However, the UFO Museum is involved in all areas of unexplained phenomena, so it's definitely within our purview. As to what I think it is, I don't have a clue.
Well, Jerry Smith, I want to thank you very much for joining me on Midday Q today, and good luck with your museum.
All right. Can I give you our address?
You sure may.
We are soliciting any UFO sightings, any reports of contact with alien intelligence, or if you just want to drop us a line and say hi. And our address is P.O. Box 20593, Sun Valley, Nevada, 89433.
89433. Jerry, thanks very much.
Okay.
Jerry Smith is an investigative journalist in Reno, Nevada.